delete.
That's the question. Yeah. Yeah, you're on.
Just make the announcement, yeah?
Announce it first.
Monday, Kof Ches Kislev, Dalet Chanukah, the 14th of December, Harav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, The Key to Real Happiness.
Good morning, everyone. I just want to make sure that you can hear me clearly with the amplifier on.
Oh, wow.
Okay, fantastic. You know, when I was a kid, there was always a great joke going around when the tape recorders came out, or it was already out before me, that in the universities, all the students start bringing their tape recorders, and slowly the amount of students diminished, and there was more tape recorders coming along. Until the day came when the professor himself also didn't turn up, and he also put a tape recorder there. So it's great to be standing here and watching myself on Zoom and seeing all these tape recorders around me. Mum is bringing it to reality. Although the truth is, we have to accept that Zoom has changed our life and it's had a massive impact. I mean, you know, it's like the guy who went to the eye doctor and for an examination, and the doctor says he comes into the room and the doctor says, "Yep, you need new glasses." He's like, "Doctor, you haven't even examined me yet." It's like, I don't need to. If you're walking through the window, it means you need new glasses. You know what I mean? So, yes, the reality has changed. We're on Zoom. We're not face-to-face. But Baruch Hashem, already this we can do, that some people can be here. It's already a chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And for that itself, we have the HaKoras HaTov. So, Baruch Hashem, I'm going to start off with a few questions. Say over the basic idea. Discuss it. And Baruch Hashem, find the connection to Hanukkah. So, question number one. The Torah tells us that Aaron HaKohen was upset. All the Nasiim brought the Korbanos for the Chanukah Samishkan, and Aaron HaKohen, he didn't have that job. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came along, and he was Mephias Aaron HaKohen. He appeased him. How did he appease him? He said, "Don't worry, you're going to light the menorah in the Mishkan." And Aaron HaKohen was immediately happy. And the question is, Frank the Ramban, what was so special about the Hadlokas Neiros that appeased Aaron HaKohen? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, "You makdid the Keteiros every day"? That's amazing, it's massive. What was so special, what was unique about the Neiros Hanukkah that made Aaron HaKohen be happy and calm? That's question number one. Neiros Hamikdash that made Aaron HaKohen calm. That's question number one. Question number two. Last week's parasha. We know the full story with Yosef. He was put in the dungeons. The Sarah Hamashim was there, the Sarah Eifer, they had dreams. Yosef interpreted their dreams for them. And when he finished interpreting the Sarah Hamashke's dream, he said to the Sarah Hamashke, "Do me a favor. Uzchartani el Paray. Mention my name to Paray. I've helped you out. I'm stuck here. I shouldn't be here. Just mention me to Paray." And unfortunately, the Torah finishes off with the parasha with the disappointing news. V'loy zochar Sarah Hamashkin es Yosef v'yishkochim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "No, Yosef, it doesn't work like that. You shouldn't have asked him, and because you did, there's 2 years extra in prison." And the Mefarshim are busy. What on earth? We all know that although there's a mitzvah to be boteach and trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but nonetheless, there's also a mitzvah of hishtadlus, to do an effort towards achieving that. Yosef did in the tremendous ma'aseh hishtadlus. What was wrong with what he did? What did he do to deserve that punishment? And one more question. There's a pasuk in Parshas Bamidbar, Nasi. The Torah tells us that Klal Yisrael are going through the Midbar, the desert, after Matan Torah. For a few days they didn't stop walking and travelling, and they began complaining. And they said, "If we're so weary from the travel, it's so difficult," and they were punished for complaining. And when the Torah relates that story, the Torah says, "Vayhi ha'om k'mis oininim." It doesn't say misoinim complaining. It says come misoinim. They were like complaining. And again, the question is, either you're a complainer or you're not a complainer. What does it mean they were like complainers? They were come misoinim. That's the three questions. So let's begin with last week's parsha. Yosef. Why was Yosef punished? He did a great ma'aseh hishtadlus. So there's a range of pshatim given, each one with a terrific yisod for itself. I think Rabbeinu Avraham and Rambam's Yesod is the most famous, that although every single person's mechuyav to do a hishtadlus, an effort towards achieving something, but the hishtadlus that a person does is always according to his level of bitachon, of his trust. And therefore, Yosef, who had reached an incredibly high level bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for him, any effort, as insignificant and minute as it was already too much. You did too much ishtadlus according to your level of bitachon. And for that, Yosef was punished. That's his pshat. My Zeder, Rabbi Yosef Chaim, they say, b'shmoy in his name, based on the Ramban asks a question that once Yosef arrived in Mitzrayim and he achieved prominence in Potiphar's house, he had the capabilities to send a letter to his father to tell him that he's okay. Why didn't you tell your father, I'm okay, I'm Mitzrayim, Baruch Hashem, I'm alive? And the Ramban explains that Yosef saw the Yad Hashem. He knew that something was happening behind the scenes and he said, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort it out. I'm not going to say anything. And that's why there was a time on him later on, when you're in the dungeons, all of a sudden it was Chatani El Pari, please remember me. What happened, Yosef? I thought you're relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the time. Okay. But today I want to discuss the Chazanish's pshat. The Chazanish shares an amazing idea. He explains like this. He says, yes, every single person is mechuyev to do hishtadlus, regardless of your level of bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, he says, the act of ishtadlus that a person does has to be within the realm of nature. It has to make sense. It has to make sense that the action that you're doing now is going to help you reach the point that you want to get to. But if the action that you're doing now doesn't make sense that it can get you to where you need to go, that's not called a maisa of ishtadlus. That's called a maisa of a man who's in desperation, pulling at straws. It's not a maisa ishtadlus. It's a man in desperation. And says the Chazon Ish, that when Yosef asked the Sar HaMashkim to mention his name to Paro, that's not called ishtadlus. That was an act of a man in desperation. Why? And explains the Chazon Ish amazingly. He says that the Mitzrayim were a nation that do not possess this inner characteristic, this midah, of having gratitude towards someone else. A Mitzri, he says, cannot acknowledge a favor and appreciate that someone's helped him out. And therefore, although Yosef had helped out the Sar HaMashkim and he had interpreted his dream, but the Sar HaMashkim felt nothing towards him whatsoever. He had no gratitude at all. And therefore, by Yosef saying to him, do me a favor, I helped you out, remind me to Paray, to the Mitzri, not a chance. Why on earth should I help you out? And that's why in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, the action that Yosef did was deemed an act of a man who's given up hope. You shouldn't have bothered asking him. He doesn't possess this middah of being Maketeva. That's the yesod that the Chazon Ish shares about the Mitzrayim, which is a powerful yesod. But it continues. Because now we can go back to the Misoyinim. Again, the Klal Yisrael were complaining. They were in the Midbar. And the Torah says they were like Misoyinim. What's this like Misoyinim? So the Ramban explains that the truth is there was a degree of legitimacy to Klal Yisrael's complaint. They were in pain. They were going through a very difficult time. They were walking in a desert. There was nothing around them. No shops, no food, no water, nothing. They had their children, they had their wives, they had their livestock, they had themselves to worry about. It's scary, it's not pleasant. And they were complaining. And when a person's in pain, we know that sometimes people say things which maybe they shouldn't say. But when they do say it, we don't throw the book at them. Because we understand Nebuchadnezzar is in pain. And therefore, be'etzem, intrinsically, they weren't complainers. And that's why the Torah says they weren't misoyinim, they weren't k'misoyinim. They were doing an act of complaining. But intrinsically, you're not a complainer. That's not who Klal Yisrael are. So says the Ramban. So if Klal Yisrael aren't intrinsically complainers, why were they punished? Explains the Ramban. That Klal Yisrael did a mistake. Instead of focusing on the present situation, the difficult situation now, they should have been mispoinen and contemplate on the past. Think of the kindness Hashem has done for you until now. Think of the miracles and the wonders that HaKadosh Baruch Hu displayed. You've seen so much. You know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over you, caring for you, loving you. You know that everything He does is for the good. You've just watched in the last few months and years do all these miracles. Why are you complaining? Why are you focusing on the present when instead you could be misplaining and contemplate on the past and appreciate everything everything that's been done for you. That was the time of Klal Yisrael. Had you been Makir Toiva and acknowledged the chesed that's been done for us until now, we would never have reached this level of being Misogynim. That was the time of Klal Yisrael. Because Klal Yisrael, we're different. We're not like the Mitzrayim. We're not like these people who don't possess this middle of our chorus. We do. And we're held to a higher level because of it. You know, the Torah tells us that Amoin and Moyov can never marry into Klal Yisrael. And the Mefarshim has got to understand. Amalek came along and he tried killing Klal Yisrael. He tried destroying us. But nevertheless, according to many shittas, if an Amaleki would be Nisgayir and become Jewish, he'd be allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. So what is it about Amoin and Moyov that they can't marry? So they didn't give us food and water when we were going towards Eretz Yisrael. Okay, it wasn't nice. Move on in life. They can't marry into us forever. It's a very powerful, it's a harsh decree. And Reb Eliezer explains this same idea. He says the Amalekim, they didn't have Yiras Hashem. They didn't have Yiras Shemayim. And they were punished for it. But if they niskaye and they makia kudish baruch hu, you can join Klal Yisrael. But Amoin and Moyov, by them not being makir toiva towards Klal Yisrael, why are you around, Amoin and Moyov? You know why you're around? Because Avraham Avinu, our Zayda, saved your Zayda's life. You're only here because of us. You owe us hakaras hatoiv. And if you're not willing to appreciate that, to acknowledge that, and to give us some food and water when we need it in our direst moments, then for that, it means you're a nation that don't possess this middah. And therefore, it's not a punishment that you can't marry into us, which is not compatible. Like putting orange juice in your cereal. It won't go because the acid will burn the enzymes. We're not compatible, it doesn't go together. Klal Yisrael and Amoin and Moyov don't fit together. We're a nation that has this middle of HaKoros HaToiv, and you're a nation that doesn't have this middle of HaKoros HaToiv. We can't go together. A punishment, no. Just, it doesn't go together. I'm sorry, we can't fit. And you see this throughout the Torah so many times, this concept of HaKoros HaToiv. We see in just two examples. Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Lech v'kisas Midyan. Midyan caused terrible killings in Klal Yisrael. They caused Klal Yisrael to fall from their high madrega. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu, go and kill them, destroy them. And a few psukim later, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu appoints Pinchas ben Elazar HaKoyen. And the Medrash says, I don't understand. Hashem told Moshe, go and kill them. Were you going appointing other people? I didn't tell you to appoint, I said, told you to go and kill them. And the Medrash explains, like Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz speaks out, that Moshe Rabbeinu said, it's impossible that Hashem is telling me to kill Midian. I have a Koras HaToiv. I was a refugee, I ran away to them, I grew up there. It's impossible. And therefore, because of the middle of a Koras HaToiv, Moshe Rabbeinu was forced to interpret HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tzivui in another way. That he couldn't have meant me, he must have meant that I should appoint someone else. Because me, having a Koras HaToiv to that nation to go and kill them, it doesn't make sense. You see again by Reuven. The Torah says that Yosef is thrown in the boil and Reuven wants to go and save him. The pasuk says, Vayishma Reuven. Reuven heard. Says the Medrash, what did he hear? Says the Medrash, an amazing idea. He heard that he contemplated that he has a chorus of teeth towards Yosef. Why? Because Yosef HaTzadik in his dream mentioned that there were 11 stars that bowed down to him. So Reuven realized, that means I'm included. Which means that my teshuvah has been accepted. So Yosef inadvertently revealed to Reuven that his teshuvah has been accepted. So Reuven had a koras hatoiv. And that's why, says the Medrash, he went to save Yosef. What does that mean? The Shvatim sat down, they made a bezdin, and they said, Yosef Yechayev Misa. Reuven agreed with the psak. But nevertheless, his chiyav koras hatoiv was mechayev him to go even deeper and search even harder and not to give up until he would find a way to save Yosef. Because that's how far a Koras HaToiv takes you. Yes, I'll be Din Yechayev Misa. But because I have to acknowledge the Toiv you've done for me, my Chiyav HaKoras HaToiv makes it incumbent upon me to search for us as Hechatimsa to make that you're not Chayev Misa. And the Medrash continues that had Reuven known that we were going to write this in the Torah, Reuven would have gone to the boy straight away, put him on his shoulders, and danced home with him. Because that's how far HaKoras HaToiv goes. HaKoras HaToiv is mechayev a person to search deep within the deepest recesses of himself, to find hechetimses, to be able to say, yes, I'll be din, maybe you're chayev misa, but my HaKadosh Baruch Hu is forcing me to find a way to stop you. So that's who we are. That's who Klal Yisrael are. We're a nation that is makatayva towards others. And having HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tremendous, tremendous benefits to it. Rabbi Yankel Galinsky speaks out, and he's out on the Shloh, that we say, Yoidu la Hashem chastoy, v'niflo iso lifnei adam. Yoidu la Hashem, when a person is moided to Hashem for the chesed that he's done to us, automatically, v'niflo iso lifnei adam, it's going to cause wonders for Klal Yisrael. By being makir toiva, having gratitude towards others, that itself opens up a conduit, like a pipe, from Shemayim to the Eretz, to bring down Brocha and Siyata Deshmaya. There's tremendous benefits that come out. Even the non-Jewish literature, if you look around, the studies have done, in that the physical benefits, the social benefits, the mental, the emotional benefits, they're full of it. We're different people, we're more pleasant people, people like us better, we're healthier people, emotionally, mentally. Having a Koras HaToiv, stopping and being misspoken on amazing brachas that happen to us constantly from Hashem, from the people around us, from people that we're close to, that itself has powerful benefits. And not only that, the Shari Tshuva writes that having a Koras HaToiv itself is a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa. So there's no losses. I was thinking when we were davening on Shabbos morning, it says, Mi Ha'isha Chofetz Chaim, Oyev Yomim Liroiz Toiv. I was thinking, that's right. Mi Ha'isha Chofetz Chaim, who is the man who wants a life, who wants a real life, a geshmaka life? Oyev Yomim Liroiz Toiv. Just love the days that have been Liroiz Toiv by looking at the good in them. By being misspoiling on the past and appreciating the chesed that's been done. That itself gives us a better life. And the Medrash, there's a Mishnas Rebbe Loza. Mishnas Rebbe Loza speaks out that Mipnei Ma Kefuye Toiva. Why does someone who shows ingratitude, where do they get bigger punishments? People who don't show gratitude, what is it about them that they deserve such harsh punishments? And the Medrash explains, because Shemei Lidei Kefira will bring a person Chas V'Shalom towards denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to explain that a little bit. If you look around in the literature, they speak out, where does this concept of gratitude come from? Why should we have gratitude? So on a basic level, they speak out that it's something on a reciprocity level. That means we live in a social world, in a social context. We have to help each other in life, otherwise we're not going to get anywhere. So you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. That's how it is. So you know why I'm showing gratitude? Not because intrinsically I have any feelings towards you or acknowledging what you've done. Just I'm going to need you later on, so I'll do you the favor and I'm hoping you're going to do it later on for me. That's what Koras HaTov is all about. But that's not the Yiddish Hashkafa. There's another level, they say. The next level, they say, is that having a Koras HaToiv, acknowledging a Toiva that's been done to us, goes deeper. It's me. That means me as a person, someone's done a favor for me. I, myself, for my own midas, for my own personal midas, my level of Avoida, to for the person that I want to represent, I have to acknowledge that a chesed was done for me. It's something. It's my own personal avoid that when someone does something good for me, I stop and I acknowledge it, because that's the person that I want to be. I want to be that person who understands a favor's been done, and I want to say thank you for it. And that is definitely much nearer to the Yiddish Hashkafa, but it goes that bit deeper. Because if you open the chinuch speaks out by the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em that having a Koras HaToiv to our parents for what they do, or for any immediate family, spouse, relative, or friends around us, through showing gratitude, it brings us to be mispoinen on the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. Because when I stop and I think about what my parents have done, it makes me go another level and say, and what about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And therefore, through showing gratitude, that itself will bring me to recognition, a hakara, for what the chesed Hashem does with me constantly, on a constant basis. And that lechayrus pshat, that a person who doesn't show gratitude, he goes through life without being makir toiva, for such a person, then, and a chalama, you're going to come to day kfira, because you're not going to see Hashem in your life. Because we see Hashem through our Koras HaToiv, and you haven't got that minute. So let me speak out four important points, important facets of our Koras HaToiv. One of them, they call it gratitude intensity. does that mean? How intense are we when we show up for a sativa? We all know you go around in life and you get some people who do the mativa and they mumble incoherently. Thank you very much. But you get other people, they say the same words. They also say thank you. But it's a different thank you. It's intense. There's much more meaning behind it. Not the lip service, but the meaning behind it is much more intense. They say with Rabbi Yerucham, he had a gemach. He used to lend out money to Bacher. There was a Bacher who he needed to travel home for Pesach. He didn't have the money. So he goes to the gemach to Rabbi Yerucham. Yerucham lends him the money. Goes home. After Pesach, he returns. He brings the money to Rabbi Yerucham. And he said, Yasha Koyach. Oh, he got Mishaberach. You're telling me thank you. It's a shine of Rebbe Steiraisa, Rebbe Stavarim. And he mamish got a zamish Mishaberach from Rabbi Yerucham. The Bacher didn't forget it. And next year, when he came to borrow money from Rabbi Yerucham, he was careful. He borrowed the money. He comes back after Pesach, gives him the money, not a word. Not long later, Rabbi Yerucham comes to him. Hello, Akar Satayv, I lent you money. Nebuchadnezzar, the Bacher standing there. Last year, the Rabbi gave me a Zav Musa Drosha, and now he's giving me another. Yerucham said, you're right. To express Akar Satayv, maybe a shayla of ribbos. But at least let me see on your face the desire, that intense desire that you want to say thank you, but you can't because the Torah doesn't let it. I didn't even see on your face that you wanted to express the gratitude towards me. That was my tying on you. That's gratitude intensity. That's one facet. There's another one. Next one is called gratitude frequency. How often do we say thank you? That means yes, here and there we do say thank you. We express across the Torah, whoever it's to. But how often is it? Is it frequent? When I say frequent, I mean really, like real and frequent. They bring down from Leah. Leah calls the son Yehuda. And the Medrash writes on it that Kodesh Baruch Hu said, until now, no one said thank you to me. And the Mefarshim are busy. No one said thank you. Adam HaRishon was never Makar Korbanos Avraham. What was so unique about Leah that she called the son Yehuda that she's given this title of the first one? And the Mefarshim explained this idea, this gratitude frequency, that by taking the son and calling him Yehuda, which comes from the word Hoida'o, acknowledging, Leah was saying, Yehuda, I want you in front of me my entire life. Whenever I see you in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, whatever it is, I'm being moided to HaKadosh Baruch on the chesed that he's done for me and given me this child. That was what Leah was in this Chadish. That thank you isn't a one-off and then move on. Thank you is continuous throughout our lives, wherever we're going. That's gratitude frequency. And then we got gratitude span. Gratitude span means that at any given moment, there are so many different times that we should be, so many different people that we have a Koras HaTov to. It's not only now that I have a Koras HaTov to him, I have to him, her, and 15 other people around me. There's so many different things happening. Someone showed me yesterday a letter which a person wrote to the Babbage Rebbe. And he wrote in the letter that, Baruch Hashem, I'm married, I've got kids, I live in a house, but I live in a tiny flat and I can't take it anymore. It's squashed, it's difficult, I'm desperate to move out. I can't afford it, I can't take it anymore. And he wrote a long letter complaining. And the Rebbe wrote a letter back to him. And he wrote in the letter, L'chvoy to whoever, Mazel tov that you got married. Mazel tov on your children. Mazel tov on your house. Mazel tov you got panasa. Mazel tov you're healthy. A whole long mazel tov list. And then at the end he wrote, if you want to be calm, content, happy with what you've got, then stop focusing on what you haven't got. But appreciate on what you do have. You have so many brachas in your life, so many different things happening. But by just concentrating and putting your focus solely on this, you're destroying your own life. Appreciate what you have, and like we said from the Shlah earlier on, by appreciating what you have, that itself will open up the Shecha of Bracha and Atzlacha. That's gratitude span. And the last one is gratitude density. That means even when we are saying thank you to someone, how far back are we willing to go? The example they give is when you go into a bakery. So you buy bread, you say thank you to the shopkeeper. What about the baker? What about the miller? What about the harvester, the farmer, the wholesaler on the way? There were so many people along the way who helped it. Where do we see this idea in the Torah? From Moshe Rabbeinu. When the Bnei Yisrael came home to their father, they said, Ish Mitzri Itzilonu, an Egyptian man saved us. And the Medrash says, Egyptian man. Moshe Rabbeinu's Egyptian. And the Medrash explains that when the Bnei Yisrael said thank you to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu said, don't thank me. Thank the Mitzri that I killed, that because of him I had to run away and come here. And the Medrash brings down a mashal of a man who was sitting on some rocks and he got bitten by a lizard. He ran to the water, looks like it has some healing effect, to put his feet inside. And when he was there, he saw a child drowning. Says the Medrash, he dived in and he saved the child. And the child said, thank you. He said, don't thank me, thank the lizard. Says the Medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching us this very idea. That a person shouldn't only look at what he sees in front of his eyes, but he should contemplate and think, what brought him to this? That's gratitude span. These are the four important facets that we see of Hakaras HaTov. Lemaisa, the situation is, even though intrinsically we do possess this midah, and it's something which brings so much, but there are impediments to it. There's the al-hargosha that we're entitled to bracha. We take on for granted so many things. It's like the guy, he meets his friend, he hasn't seen him in a long time, and he says to his friend, ah, what's going on? His friend looks so sad. He says, don't ask. 3 weeks ago, my uncle died, he left me $50,000. He's like, it's fantastic. Why are you sad then? Because 2 weeks ago, my great auntie died and she left me $100,000. He was like, and so that's the reason. So yeah, but last week, nothing. So it's this very idea that we have we expect that we're going to get so much. When it doesn't come, we're so upset. Because we're focusing on what we don't have rather than what we do have. There's also this idea that we're so enmeshed, preoccupied with materialism, that we don't even appreciate so many things happening around us. But if we would stop and think about it, it'd be a completely different life. Let's come back to Aaron HaKohen. We asked the question, Aaron HaKohen, he was upset. He didn't have the same job as the Nasiim to bring the Korbanos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mephiasim. Don't worry, you'll do the Menorah in the Mishkan. How was that appeals to him? So the Medrash says that Klal Yisrael asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, why are we lighting the Menorah for you in the base of in the Mishkan? You need our Menorah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't need your light. It's for you, to bring you up and make you feel better. And the Medrash brings down a mashal of a Sumwa and a Pekeach. So the blind man is being led by the Pekeach through the dark streets and they arrive home. And the Pekeach said, do me a favor, when we come in the house, take a fire, hold it out for me so I can see my way in the house. And the Sumwa said, I don't understand. You've just led me along the entire way and now you want me to light the way for you in the house. And the Pekeach said, listen, if I go home now, you're going to feel such a debt of Hakaras HaTov to me. You're not going to feel comfortable until you've done something about it. So I'm giving you that chance now. Take a fire, hold it out. Then you'll feel you've given me back. And the Medrash explains, Chaim Shulevitz speaks out, that Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael, that you have such a Hakaras HaTov to me, the man of Chasson that I do for us on a constant basis, that I want to be able to give you the chance to feel like in whatever it is, you're giving me something back. And I'm going to let you display your Hakaras HaTov through taking the menorah and lighting it for me. Do I need it? No. But it'll make you feel better. You're doing something for me. Because we have such an intense desire to give back, to acknowledge and give back when someone helps us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu broke Tastoy. Kav Yochel gave us this chesed that we can feel like we're giving back to him. Because that's who we are. Rabbi Avigdor Miller speaks out that the nace of Chanukah, we have to remember, was not about winning a war. Because we didn't win the war. 25 years later, after that, was terrible for Klal Yisrael. It went on and on and on, much worse. The worst times happened afterwards. But the nace of Chanukah was, like Kodesh Baruch Hu says, if you're willing to stop and see me, you will see me. But you have to stop and see me. And the way to stop and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives is by being makir tova for the chesed that's been done to us. From the people around us, from our kids, from our wives, from whatever it is, anyone around us. Through that, we'll come and we'll see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For our situation now, what we've gone through in Zoom, is definitely a time, this whole COVID time, where Rahman has done so many difficult things have happened. There isn't anyone who hasn't been impacted in whatever way possible. But if we'd stop and be mispoinen on the chesed that we've also seen, on the amount of bracha that's come down, on the amount how Klal Yisrael are so special, helping each other out the whole time, or whatever it is, that itself will bring us to our Korach Hashem. And Be'ez Hashem, through being mispoinen in that, which we say, have a lichtige Chanukah, only bracha and siyach mishmaya. Shkai.